I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
All right, Keefe, you ready to call it a season for the Celtics?
No, I'm not. I wanted more basketball. I convinced myself that there might be some more basketball. There is no more basketball.
I was convinced.
Yeah. No, I know you were. But I'm not ready. It's the middle of May. This team should have been playing in June. So I'm very disappointed. Very saddened.
Season over. I think a lot of people are saddened, not just with it being done, but how it went down.
Yeah.
It was as ugly as it gets.
Holy mackerel.
Never a game. Never competitive. And now it's abruptly over. Big changes looming over the franchise, as we discussed now for weeks and months. You guys know the deal. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch all day long with Jones and Keefe. That's your phone and text number. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. Friday, Keith, was not what I saw coming. Rough.
Bloodbath.
What happened?
It was, you know, they played so well in Game 5, and so many things went their way, but at the same time, so many things didn't go the Knicks' way, right? Like, they had guys really, really struggled, and so you're wondering, right, could that keep up, or if that evens out a little bit, what is it going to look like in Game 6? Well, the reality is, some of the guys for the Celtics turned back into a pumpkin, right? Luke Kornet, hero game in Game 5. Nobody expected it in Game 6. Didn't get it in Game 6. I was also looking on the other side, though, because OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges were horrible in Game 5. Could you keep those guys down again? As soon as they started hitting their first couple of shots, I was like, oh, no. Like, this is not good. This is not the formula for the Celtics to win this game. They played 3 games in the playoffs without Tatum. I think the first game against the Magic, like, okay, that's probably what they are. The first game against the Knicks, they played way better than they were. And then the second game against the Knicks, they played even when they played like as bad as they could. They were rushing their shots. It felt like we were complimenting them so much in Game 5 about the ball movement and finding the best shot and at times not even being a three. It seemed like in Game 6, there's too many guys being like, I got it. I'll take it from here. And you're like, that's not a good look. That's early in the shot clock. That's another brick. And then the misses just started to pile up on each other. They didn't play great defense. I mean, there's really nothing they did well in Game 6.
No.
It was start to finish, just a dump of a game.
Poured it on. I mean, the Knicks just poured it on. It was closer than maybe you remember at the end of the first. It was only a 6-point game then. But from there,
it felt like it was already starting to get out of reach.
I agree. It completely felt that way. It already felt like it was slipping away. They were down 6. The only guy who could score was Jaylen. And then Knicks outscore them 38-17 in the second quarter, and it's a rout from there. So, yeah, what happened? It all caught up to him. I thought they weren't a better team without Tatum. I thought it might have been a better matchup without Tatum. I thought Tatum almost single-handedly, not to oversimplify it, but I thought he was a big, big factor in losing the first 2 games. He was so bad in the fourth quarter, and they moved the ball so well in Game 5, as you just said, that I thought maybe for this matchup they'd be better off without him. Wrong. They needed a guy like that.
Oh, yeah,
in
time.
Game six. You needed another guy to lean on. Jalen, as we've come to find out, not just isn't 100%, might need surgery to repair his torn meniscus.
Yeah, yeah.
So
great.
You have a hobbled Jalen Brown. Who knows what the hell's going on with Porzingis? Tatum's gone for probably the next year. And so it all caught up to him. Now, it doesn't
mean old guys got real old right before our eyes.
It doesn't mean you let them off the hook for how they played, because they were atrocious in game six, and we can get into why and how and the coaching and everything else. But I do think a lot of those factors caught up to him. But they were losing this series either way, even before Tatum went down. They were losing this. In retrospect, I was believing late last week, but in retrospect, they were losing this thing either way.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can look at this series and say, oh, they would have beaten the Knicks if they had Tatum. They had them for four games and they were down 3-1. So I'm with you. They lose the series whether Tatum's there or not. They lose the series whether Jalen Brown's knee injury is there or not. They got outplayed in the series. Another reason why, you know, game five to game six was so different was Derek White. I mean, Derek White was so good. And even though we talked a lot about Jalen Brown and a lot about Luke Kornet, Derek White was hitting his threes. He scored 34 points, which was a team high. He was atrocious in game six. You don't usually see a number like this. He played 30 minutes. Did you notice his plus minus?
I did.
Derek White was minus 45.
We're going to talk to Terp at high noon. Terp tweeted all these out. I believe it was the worst of his career, if I saw that.
How could that not be? That's going to be the worst of almost anybody's career. How are you on the floor for that much time? And you're minus 45. He had 8 points in the game. Game six, he made 7 threes. This game, he scored 8 points. So you just didn't have anybody really doing. I thought earlier, like, Jalen Brown was kind of trying, but obviously he's a little bit banged up. But even still, like, a banged up Brown being your best player, also not a recipe for a win. But yeah, just really frustrating, I think, because of how convincing their game five victory was. And, you know, maybe bad job by us having short memories. You see in the playoffs, in the history of basketball, some lopsided games don't carry over to the next game. Happens all the time. Teams that win series lose by 30 in a series, right? They won the series, but hey, you lost game three by 30. Like, what the hell happened there? So game six just wasn't anything like game five. I mean, the Celtics couldn't throw it in the ocean. They also couldn't stop anybody. And then once the Knicks got rolling, that second quarter, I mean, for sure the game was over.
Derek White, minus 45, career high. This is Terp's tweet from the other week, other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Jalen was a minus 33, career high. Drew Holiday, second worst of his career, minus 34. Horford, third worst of his career, which is not a short career, minus 33. So non-competitive, and again,
not great, Bob. No.
What if I told you this? Baylor Shireman?
Uh-huh.
Plus 3.
Well, how about that? Nice.
Torrey Craig?
Yeah.
Plus 7.
Wow.
Should have put Megan Thee Stallion's boyfriend out there sooner.
Get him out there. Would have worked out a little bit better. Who deserves the most blame for game six? I mean, I think, again, overall, I put a lot of blame early in the series on Tatum. Best player on the floor, at least he should be, in theory. And he was, I thought, horrendous in those first two games. Can't blame him for the other night. Yeah, yeah. So who deserves the most blame?
I'm going to put it on the backcourt, actually. I know Jalen Brown's their best player left, but I think Drew Holiday and Derek White played so poorly. And I do expect that a lot out of those guys. I mean, Derek White, we give him the praises all the time. Every team in the league would want Derek White. Team USA wanted Derek White. Like, he is such a good glue-type player, but he can do more. And with Tatum out, you needed his scoring to be more. And then also Drew Holiday, which I really thought was the missing piece last year, pushed them over the top and won a title. I'm not expecting 20 points and, you know, 12 assists out of Drew Holiday anymore, but those two guys together shot 4 of 19 from the field. And it's not like their great defense was offsetting things on the other side. You know, Jalen Brunson was able to get what certainly enough of what he needed. They had a balanced scoring attack. So you weren't scoring on offense. You weren't taking away the best player on the other side. Like,
what were you doing there?
So I'd put it on the backcourt.
Text line agrees with you. 617-779-7937. You're not going to mention the effort. Drew Holiday didn't even sweat all game. I would focus on Jalen. I'll be consistent.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, we gave him all this praise in game five for, what were the numbers? 12 assists versus 2 turnovers off the top of my head? Something like
12
that.
12 and 2.
6 assists against 7 turnovers. And for a while, he was the only guy scoring, right? He was the only guy who could score early in the game. But you talk about them pressing and trying to put it all on their shoulders and not being able to do it. I think he was the most guilty of that. He fouled out of the game on top of it. So, look, we give him credit for stepping up when the team needed him. He didn't the other night. He needed to be the best guy out there. He wasn't. And so I'd look at Jalen. Neither of us said the coach. I think a lot of people would say the coach. How much is on Mazzulla?
I mean, probably as much as you can put on a coach. Like, for the game or for the series? Because I think for the series, I had some more questions early on. I mean, this game kind of got away from him. It was almost like, all right, what could you do? What could any coach really do at that point? You could argue, like, how do you not get these guys ready? Well, there should be some self-motivation in an elimination game. I have more issues with, you know, not calling timeout, running the same play twice, like certain things that he did earlier in the series more so than even this one. But we had the stat, you know, as the playoffs were going on, the five head coaches prior to Mazzulla to win a title aren't with their team, or four out of those five aren't with their team right now. And part of it is this trend has continued where the NBA champion the next year loses in the second round. So we're not seeing the days of back-to-back titles, three-peats, these like dynasties forming. We're seeing such a deep league and these top teams getting picked off the next year. But the talent's obviously there. So a lot of other teams have decided, like, all right, maybe the coach needs to change. Maybe we swap the coach out. So I thought it was a very disappointing playoff run for Mazzulla, but I'm almost always going to put more blame on the players than the coach. Just like I'm always going to give more credit to the players than the coach.
I thought they could survive a shooting night like they had and beat New York on the road. I think we even specifically said, I'm like, if they shoot like they shot in game two, which was 10 out of 40 from three, and we always hone in on the three-point numbers, Mazzulla wants us to hone in on them, so let's do it. I think I even said if they shoot like they shoot in game two, yeah, I think they can go on the road and win. They shot better. They were 12 out of 40. Not great by any means, 30%.
No. And some of that's garbage time garbage players.
But, I mean, it's as simple as looking at it and saying Mazzulla told them to hoist up threes. When they made them in game five, they won. Yep. When they didn't, they didn't. And so, you know, I think a lot of people are taking a critical look at Mazzulla and what he does. I was surprised. We're going to play this for you coming up. Scal, I think, even took a little bit of a shot at Mazzulla. At least that's who I think he's talking about. You can tell me who you think he's talking about. We play it for you.
It was almost a cryptic kind of
cryptic
review of the game.
Cryptic is the right way to put it. So do you think there's any chance Mazzulla's fired this offseason?
I don't.
Me neither.
I don't think it's right after this year. And I also, in a weird way, Tatum's injury might give him more job security. I think if Tatum was back next year, regardless of some of the other pieces that they move on from, which we're going to be talking about today throughout the rest of the offseason, I think if they fall short next year, I could see Mazzulla being fired after next year. But now I'm not sure. Now without Tatum, I think Mazzulla's probably safe for like two more years.
We said this last week. Oddly enough, the Tatum injury gave Mazzulla some job security. Like oddly enough, all of a sudden, I feel like he's pretty secure. And that does not mean he's a perfect head coach.
No.
I think he's fine. You know, and I largely agree with you on this, Keith. How much can you really put on a coach? How much can you really give credit to a coach? I think that's hard to do. But they couldn't win with Udoka. They couldn't win with Stevens. They did win with him. He deserves credit for that. I know it was a different roster and a better roster.
Yeah.
He deserves credit for not getting in the way a year ago, where at times, you know, the coaches would get in the way or they couldn't get the most out of the players. I'll give him credit for that. I'm not firing him. I know a lot of people are done with him and want him fired. So you can discuss that. It's 617-779-7937. I want to play you two clips from post-game on Friday, or maybe even some of it was the breakup interviews yesterday, Saturday as well. But I thought these were kind of different ends of the spectrum. Let me hear from Derek White after the Celtics lost in Game 6 to New York on Friday.
It sucks. We're never going to get this season back. Never going to have the exact same team again. And so, obviously, there was some highs and obviously some lows of a season. And but at the moment, it just, I mean, you're just kind of down.
Okay, kind of down. Makes sense.
Down.
You're eliminated.
Highs and lows. I don't know how many highs, but
there weren't a ton of highs.
It's fine. You beat the Magic.
But when he says we're never going to have the exact same team again, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, they're just not. I mean, like, Al Horford's a free agent. He's probably going to be gone. With everybody knows that.
But
they
you think that's what he's talking about? Just like some more bottom of the roster kind of things? Or you think he's talking bigger?
Both. Well, and he knows Tatum's out for all of next year. Right. So like the roster next year, even if they decide to pay everybody, it's going to be different next year. But these guys are obviously very well aware of what's going on.
Well,
I mean, we talk about it on a daily basis.
That to me is my takeaway from the comment, too. It's like
they know.
Don't tell me these guys weren't aware, didn't know, it's not on their minds, they're not thinking about it. Maybe it doesn't impact them, like on the floor in the middle of the game. Yeah. I have no idea. Don't tell me they weren't thinking. Derek White volunteers that up after they get eliminated. He's like, we're never going to have this same team again. It sucks.
Yeah, but you could make the case, I don't know, last year even, like they kept all their top guys. But as a guy finishing his season in the NBA, you know that you don't take the, whatever, 12, 13, 15 guys and bring them back the next year.
Well, so look.
So there's also some of that.
When he says the exact same team, it could be some of
it
that.
It just never happens.
Maybe he was being very precise and talking about bottom of the roster players and not higher up. This was Jalen talking about the future of the Celtics as well. Again, we assume there will be changes. I thought Jalen took a bit of a different track than Derek White.
It's a lot to be excited for. This journey is not the end. It's not the end for me. I'm looking forward to coming back stronger. You know, so, you know, you just take this with your chin up. You know, I know Boston, you know, it looks gloomy right now. You know, obviously with JT being out and us, you know, kind of ending the year. But it's a lot to look forward for. It's a lot to look forward to. And I want the city to feel excited about that. Like, this is not the end. So I'm looking forward to what's next.
What'd you think of that sales pitch?
Very positive spin, I guess. I you know, the season didn't kind of come to an end, first of all, Jalen. The season's over. Like, the season's for sure over. And, yeah, it's a downer. I mean, it just to what degree, how far away are they going to be, how much are they going to blow it up? A lot of that is very much out of his control, and we also don't know the answer. Like, is Holiday, Porzingis, Hauser to a lesser degree, Cornette, are they all gone? And then it's just Jalen Brown and other guys, and Derek White and guys they can afford. Is Jalen Brown possibly gone? Like, I mean, there's so many different things that they could do to this team that we don't even know. He's trying to put a positive spin on it, which I respect. He's the one that's going to have to go out there. He's going to be the face of this, like, next, I assume. And
I mean, he assumes. I mean, I mean, and maybe that's a guy who's been assured of something. Maybe not. Maybe he's just talking like he expects to be here, and he has no idea. But that sounds like a guy who thinks he's going to be back and is selling the whole fan base on, hey, don't skip out on us next year when we don't have Tatum. I mean, that's what it sounded like.
No, he's trying to pull it. I just feel like it's going to be a long year. Now, I don't think it's going to be check tankathon because, oh, look at the lottery. Like, I don't think it's going to be one of those years. As a Celtics fan, we've done that multiple times. I don't think it's going to be that. But is it going to be, hey, you're, you know, a couple games over 500, you're the sixth seed, and, you know, who do you got in the first round of the playoffs? I think it's more likely that, which for some fan bases is great, and that's like, hey, a shot in the arm. I'm sure Orlando was thrilled to have the season that they had to make the playoffs with their young guys. But when it was championship or bust for a while, next year is going to be the first year in like 6 years where it's not championship or bust. I mean, if you're saying championship next year with that roster, like, I don't know what to tell you.
No, I wouldn't say it. They should be a playoff team. I think
bust.
I think they should be a playoff team. I would sit here handicapping it now. I don't know what other teams are going to do this offseason.
Yeah.
But handicapping it now, they should probably win a series next year. Like, be in the mix to beat a team in round one. Who did New York beat in round one? Could they beat a team like Detroit next year? Maybe. You know, who did Indiana beat in round one?
Milwaukee.
Thank you. Could you beat a team like that?
Especially without Giannis. Milwaukee won't be there.
Okay, but that level of team, like a 48-50 win team, like sitting here today, I think that's what they should be, assuming big pieces are back. But I don't know. They're meeting with Cooper Flagg. Like, who knows who's going to be back? I have no idea what they're going to look like.
Yeah, I don't think they're a play-in team. Like, I think they're better than that. And then if you're the play-in team, obviously you have to play the top two seeds. So I think if they're somewhere between 3, 4, 5, 6, then yeah, they could be competitive and win a playoff series. But that's kind of what it is. Like, the last 4 years, it was like, who are they going to face in the finals?
I agree. It is not championship or bust. Yeah. It's like, get to the playoffs, can you win a round? That to me would be the expectation and what would make for a successful year. But it's a long way to go with a lot of potential moves. You can weigh in all day long. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keith here on WEEI. I do want to get to Scal. Very critical. Ooh. Of the Celtics after their loss. Bad habits and cheating the game, things like this. We'll ask Terp about all of it when he joins us. Especially a special Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon. No reason to wait until Wednesday. He's here. We're going to have him live in studio again at High Noon. Plus, I mentioned the meeting with Cooper Flagg. What's going on with that? We'll get to it later on in the show. But what'd you think of Scal calling the Celtics out, and did they cheat the game? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Red Sox dropped 2-3 in their weekend series with the Atlanta Braves after yesterday's 10-4 loss at Fenway Park. Brian Bayo got the loss after giving up 7 runs on 10 hits in 4 1/3 innings. All 4 Sox runs came off of Rafael Devers' grand slam in the bottom of the third. It's Devers' 9th home run of the season. Sox homestand continues tonight with game 1 of their 3-game series with the New York Mets. First pitch is at 6:45. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Dobbins will get the start in the series opener against the Mets' Cody Senga. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Christian Arcand at 5:45. In the NBA playoffs last night, the Oklahoma City Thunder advanced to the Western Conference Finals with their 125-93 Game 7 win over the Denver Nuggets. The Thunder advanced to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Game 1 is tomorrow night. Game 1 in the Eastern Conference Finals between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks is Wednesday night. In the NHL playoffs, the Florida Panthers eliminated the Toronto Maple Leafs with a 6-1 Game 7 win last night. The Panthers will now face the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals beginning tomorrow night. On Wednesday night, it's Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. And Scottie Scheffler is the winner at the PGA Championship. Scheffler finished the tournament shooting 11 under, earning his third career major championship. Visit the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal, the Crispy Fried Twin Catch with North Atlantic Cod and Crispy Shrimp. Just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the nines. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
.com.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Whether it's, you could say, bad habits that they maybe that creeped in during the year, one way or another, like this is probably fitting maybe for the Celtics to go out like this, because there's probably times where they made it maybe cheated the game a little bit, you know, in the way that they approach this series.
All right, what is Scal talking about? Who is Scal talking about? Bad habits and cheated the game? I didn't expect Scal to lower the boom on the Celtics like that.
I know, but he did it in such a weird way. Like, I don't know specifically what he means. Is he talking about how they prepared for the series? So would that go on the coach and the coaching staff and just, which is such an odd thing. Like, is he saying they took the Knicks lightly? Which I don't know. Is that a possibility? And then even if that's the case after game one, like you find yourself down 1-0, 2-0, you're not making any adjustments? Is he calling that out? Yeah, it was strange. It was like very critical, but also cryptic.
I mean, my interpretation, especially given the era he played in and the style the Celtics play, my guess is that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the style and the amount of threes they jack up, and how tilted they are to play that way. And if you're cheating the game and getting into bad habits, I think that's the kind of stuff he's talking about. But maybe you're right. Maybe he's talking about the players and overlooking opponents and, hey, we're just better than them and we should just repeat because we're the best team in the league.
Right.
Maybe it was some of that too.
But like they the season opener, they played the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they took a million threes in that game.
Yep.
So they won. So we could all from the outside be like, yeah, that's a lot of threes or whatever. But they won. That was their game plan. And they won. They specifically were like, this is what we're going to do. They executed and they won going away. So if that was still your approach, you went 4-0 against the Knicks in the regular season and you shot a ton of threes. So if your thought process was we're going to take a lot of threes, is that cheating the game or is that just doing what you do? We can all argue with how effective it is long term and series to series and things like that. But they didn't take a million threes against the Magic. The Magic wouldn't let them. They didn't do it and they still won the series. Now, I know that team doesn't have as much talent, but they beat them in five. So if they then went into this series and they're like, all right, these guys aren't as good defensively. We can go back to doing what we're doing. I think you can disagree with it, but to call it cheating the game is an odd phrase.
So who do you think I think that's what he's talking about, but what do you think he's talking about? Or who do you think he's talking
about? Well, I do think it must be more of a coaching staff type of thing. I don't know if he's singling out any one player. I also don't think Scal would necessarily do that. I think Scal, it might be a little bit easier to kind of point the blame to the coaching staff and just maybe everybody in general. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I can't imagine Joe Mazzulla went into this taking the Knicks lightly. I don't. But Scal would know. Scal travels with the team. Scal's around him. He's on the bus, the plane, everything else. So he has more inside info than certainly any of us do. But yeah, that was quite a comment.
It was unexpected is how I would put that. And I don't know who he's talking about, but my guess is it's the coaching and the style they play. And you're trying to, cheat the game. You're trying to outmath the other team and not actually play basketball. And I think that's what he's talking about. But maybe, does he have another hit with afternoons? Will he do
Wednesday,
that now the season's over?
We'll find out. Yeah, he should have a season capper.
So he could explain himself on WEEI afternoons. I think you're going to hear Brad Stevens is scheduled to speak today, right? At 2:30?
Yeah, 2:30.
So at bare minimum, I'm sure they'll react to Brad
Stevens.
It's going
to be a busy offseason for Brad.
Maybe carry some of that. Well, thank God for Brad Stevens.
Thank God, yeah.
So we'll start to get some answers on that from Brad later today. I think you'll be able to hear some of that live on WEEI Afternoons. He's scheduled to talk at 2:30. Let's start it off today with our buddy Jonathan and Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. Celtics fans need to get it through their heads that you can win a championship, but still also frankly be losers. This core through three coaching regimes has, with the talent superiority, blown leads, blown series to such an extent over the years that yes, they were able to get the Rex Grossman of past last year and win a championship, just like Manning, who won a championship. But don't we think of Manning, Alex Rodriguez, and them as losers despite winning championships? This group has been around together going deep in the playoffs so often, but then disappointing so often that I can't come to any conclusion except that this core, the Jays, and maybe you want to throw Al Horford in there because he's been around too, are kind of losers.
Okay, it's harsh.
It's aggressive. I'm not going that far.
Are they losers who won, Keith?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
We famously tiered off many losers in sports, including some losers who won, a loser who won twice, like Peyton Manning.
I'm not going there with this group yet. I think it's a little easy, just because it's Brown and Tatum, to be like, oh, this group went through so many coaches and all these different chances. They only had Holiday and Porzingis twice, and Porzingis really wasn't even a factor this time. If you want to move him to the side. But Drew Holiday once. This group together, this whole group didn't have Brad Stevens. This whole group really didn't even have Ime Udoka. This is a Joe Mazzulla and Drew Holiday is how I look at this window. I don't think that they're losers who won. I still think their window is open. Unfortunately, it's been pushed back, and it's going to have to look a lot different in like 2 years.
Text line called me out. They said, Jones, be consistent. Loser take by JB, just like Giannis. I mean,
Jalen
have a little of like the Giannis post game syndrome going on there, where he sounds a little bit like a loser who won?
So here's my, and this may be an excuse for Jalen Brown.
It's not a failure; it's steps to success.
There was a little bit of that with Jalen.
Yeah, but Jalen's,
it's a fair text to call
Jalen's
me out for that.
Was also different because I think it was also put out there as far as like next season was concerned, and like Tatum's done. So like, how do you sort of spin that as like, don't just quit? Whereas Giannis was the number one seed, their team was healthy, they lost in the first round, and then he was scolding the media about there's no such thing as failure.
There was no scolding from Jalen.
No,
true.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, Giannis.
It was a sales pitch that he laid on a little thick, but it was not. There was no scolding.
Yeah. No, I still think like Giannis or even Kyrie's last press conference with the Celtics was wildly infuriating as a Celtics fan. So between those two, they're much worse. I see what Jalen Brown was trying to do. He didn't convince me, but like I see what he was doing.
I don't think they're losers who won either. Not yet. I was joking about that with Tatum when we were making out our tiers the other week, but I don't think that. I think it is fair to look back at the path they had last year and go, wow. I mean, that was a very fortunate path, which a lot of us said in real time, and they took advantage of it. Credit to them. I'm not taking the banner away. But you do look back and you go, well, everything was there, a perfect storm situation for that team to break through and win a title.
Yeah.
And credit to them. They did. But when the path was a little more difficult this year some adversity hit, they couldn't capitalize.
I do think it shows you just how – and because I was one of these guys that would argue against the teams haven't won back-to-back, and it's hard to win back-to-back now. Obviously, it's hard to win back-to-back. But you know what I'm saying? Like, they were saying, like, oh, the new NBA, like, you don't win back-to-back. And I would come up with excuses for all the different ones. I'd be like, oh, you had a bubble one. You had Kawhi Leonard leaving. You had, like, this, that, and the other.
But older now, Golden State team. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that team that was pretty much done, and they beat the young Celtics. I don't know. Maybe now there is kind of something to it, too. You know, and Giannis could do it. Jokic couldn't do it. Tatum couldn't do it. I know Tatum got hurt, but they were about to be eliminated anyway. The league is pretty loaded. And so, like, if you are facing teams that are healthy.
I think if you're a run-of-the-mill championship team, then you do what all the other run-of-the-mill champion. If you're a special team, and we thought this team was special. We thought they were much more talented. If you're a special team, then a special team will break that run and they'll win back-to-back. The Celtics weren't that special team. We thought they were.
True, and I still think they have the best roster when healthy, and again, they weren't. But top to bottom, they have the best roster, whereas in the previous years, you had more of what we would call like the super teams, whereas now you have kind of like two all-stars per team. Even this Celtics roster is the top two guys, then there's a little bit of a gap, and it's like a couple old guys. It's Derek White, who everybody loves, but he's not going to be confused with an all-NBA player. Like, the teams that were winning back-to-back had 3-4 Hall of Famers. I mean, like, Durant, Clay, Curry, Draymond, or you go back to, like, LeBron, Wade, Bosh. Like, those teams, I guess, were built a little different.
617-779-7937. What sort of changes are coming for the Celtics? We're going to get into it with Terp when he joins us. Pure Hoops at High Noon special on a Monday. This is Porzingis after the game explaining his situation, which obviously is very significant going into this offseason with changes expected. Here's KP.
I'm not sure. I mean, you know, doctors are trying to help as much as possible, but it was just some lingering fatigue, you know, some effects. And even right now, I'm just, you know, I played, I don't know, 11 minutes, but I'm cast right now. Like, I could just lay down here and just take a little nap, easy. You know, which is extremely weird, and many symptoms that were kind of super weird. So I think nobody has a clear answer. I'll see how I go from here, and maybe I do some extra testing, some extra stuff, you know, and see if... see if we find something, but if not, maybe, you know, maybe just a reset for my whole system, and that will get my energy levels hopefully back up.
Just needs a nap.
Scary. It's honestly scary.
Get in line.
Say it again.
Get in line.
Oh yeah, you want to take a little snooze?
Yeah, you just need a snooze.
But they don't know what's going on with them. Like, you have like the best medical people in the world looking at him, and you know, we had an eyebrow up going into the game where he wasn't even on the injury report. So like, we don't know what's going on with him. He's gonna play. He did play. Played 11 minutes. And now he wants to take a sleep. I don't know what the hell's going on with him for the future. But that's like, basketball is one thing. Like, life wise, that's scary as hell. Like, what's going on with you? You're like a professional athlete, and now you're just like tired all the time, and you can't shake this. That does not doesn't look good, the outlook.
So I am curious, you know, what you could get in return. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. Would anybody want him? He is an expiring deal. Is that valuable? Would that actually be valuable to the Celtics? Bill Chisholm trying to peel off money long term? Porzingis is closer to the end of his deal. Who has more value, him or Drew Holiday? Could you move Jalen? Could you move Derek White? Like, there's a lot of questions, but Porzingis central to all of it.
I don't know how much value he has right now.
I don't think
there is that whole idea of like the expiring contracts.
I don't think there's much value in any of the guys you're trading. There's a reason that you wouldn't do it in an ideal world. You're doing it to save money. You're not doing it to get value.
So
you're probably not going to get value for any of these guys.
Yeah, White, Brown, and Pritchard probably have value around the league, and that's it. Right, like the other guy, like Cornette and Horford are free agents. I mean, Holiday signed for multiple years.
Even Jalen, you're not going to get full value for him because of his contract.
Why I say White's probably the most tradable. You get the most back for Derek White, then Jalen Brown, and then probably Peyton Pritchard.
Let's go to Lawrence in Michigan. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Hey, you guys. I love the show. I just wanted to quickly comment and just say
I think there is a need to evaluate Joe Mazzulla as a head coach. You know, prior to the timeline, Brad Stevens brought in people like Jeff Van Gundy and to give him all of the tools and all of the support needed and necessary to become a better coach. And I'm a diehard Boston fan despite living in Michigan, but dropping back-to-back 20-point leads, it's just not justifiable or excusable for Joe. At this point, I do feel like there's a need for change when it comes to him as a head coach. I really am disappointed in him as a head coach because of the fact that, again, he's been through that so many times, even when he took over for Udoka, not calling timeouts and not making in-game adjustments. And that's what really, I think, hurt the Celtics.
Yeah, so look, I don't think it's in the cards, but I know a lot of people feel that way.
We've got a bunch on the text line already, tweets all weekend long. People don't want Joe. And we kind of ride that roller coaster with Joe. You and I even joke about how when they win and he says these nonsense things, we're like, what a character. And then when they lose, like, this guy. So I also don't know how much of the overall team philosophy would change if Joe was gone. So this is like an organizational thing.
I 100% agree with that. And honestly, when Brad gets asked questions today, he should get asked about Joe. Like, is Joe going to be back? See what he says. Brad should get asked about that, like the whole
bombs away
organizational philosophy, because I think you're right. I think Mazzulla is very much on board with it.
Oh, of course.
But I think it goes above Mazzulla.
I mean, they shot a lot of threes with Udoka. They shot a lot of threes with Stevens. And then now they've actually put a roster on the floor that's even more three-point happy than the teams that Brad had. Right? Like, there's no Time Lord out there. There's no guy that's like clogging up space. Every single guy that they play shoots threes.
617-779-7937. Good text here. You guys made fun of him, but the mold collar may have been onto something.
Yeah,
with Porzingis,
listen,
that's true. Maybe we shouldn't rule that out. We were maybe a little too dismissive of that guy.
I might be all over it.
We'll get back to your phone calls. What'd you think of the Knicks fans celebrating like they won a championship? Let's get to that next.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Losing to the Knicks, you know, feels like death. But I was always taught that there's life after death. So we'll get ready for whatever's next in the journey, I'll be ready for.
Jaylen Brown saying losing to the Knicks feels like death. He was told there's life after death, Keith.
Okay.
So,
believe in that. That's cool.
Some do.
Love it.
But it feels like death. Then you got Knicks fans celebrating like they've already won the championship.
They were pretty fired up.
All over the city.
See that dude in the Halliburton jersey running for his life?
Oh, I did see that, actually. Yeah. Yes. I saw
I think he was a bit of an instigator, though.
You think so?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't love the mob kind of going after him. I don't know how that guy's night ended, but I think he was giving them the business, which was probably a dumb idea.
Probably not his best move.
No.
No.
Are you a wear your team's jersey into the road opponent's arena guy?
No,
probably not.
Are you?
I think I have, but I wasn't obnoxious about it. Like, I have a buddy in Philadelphia, Bragg, and so we would go to Phillies games and stuff, and I think I'd probably wear sock stuff.
Like a hat, though. I don't think I'd go the full jersey. I'd wear a hat.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have a jersey. So no, probably. Oh, actually, I certainly don't have a jersey. not to go on this rant for a second.
No, well, you know what? You might as well.
I can't help myself. This is going to come across like, oh, boo-hoo, Keith, just go buy one. Hart and Ted got sent City Connect jerseys.
They did.
We are the official jersey fashion police.
Well, let me tell you. We
didn't get jerseys.
We fashion police graded. Now, maybe they weren't thrilled with your grade, Keith.
I loved them. Mm. I love the City Connects. Mm. What are you talking about?
I think if we revisit
that's
the
why
grades.
I'm so jelly.
So we fashion police those jerseys.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And then
we also
Brad Folt broke the news they were wearing them on this show.
Yes.
I think we kind of had the market cornered for these
I love
jerseys.
The hat. Yes. I love the jersey. And all I see is just me feeling sad. I just see a million people putting out these videos of these unboxings. And they're like, look at this, a sweatshirt. Oh, look at this, a new hat. Look at this, a jersey. I'm like, son of a. I want that so bad. It looks so good. That's a good-looking uniform. I stand by it. I'm not mad at the uniform.
No, we like the uniform.
I'm mad at the team for not sending me one.
Yes. And there's some jealousy going on.
Oh,
yeah.
A significant amount of jealousy. It's mostly just envy. I think one of the seven sins.
Yeah, that's true.
Envy.
There's a lot of envy going on in that situation.
I'm not painting myself in the greatest light right now. I was really bitter. I thought that we might get like a bot. Like the New England Revolution, they know how to look out for us.
Revs look out for
us. I've gotten Revs jerseys the last couple of years. They're new ones. Sick unis. The Boston Tea Party one.
Real nice.
The one this year, the white one with like the trees on. I love it.
Loved it.
Would like a City Connect as well. And now it sounds like I'm begging. So now I wouldn't even accept it.
So now they send you one you wouldn't accept.
Unless there's one in the mailroom, nobody brought it down, and then egg on my face. Should I go check the mailroom on the break?
Yeah, when's the last time you've been up there?
Oh, six, eight months ago?
There easily actually could be jerseys
up there.
All
right, so before I really freak out, let me put a pin in it, see if they have them here.
I hadn't thought about that to use, brother. They easily could just be sitting upstairs.
All right, let me check that. And then I'll come back with the same pain.
All right, good.
Because also, I would wear them. A lot of people are like, oh, that's cute. And then they like toss them, they throw them in their closet, never to be seen again.
You'd wear it on the road.
I'd wear that every day.
You'd wear it to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Behind home plate at Yankee Stadium.
I would just caution a little bit. There's a lot of, oh, my God, look at these Knicks fans. They haven't won anything. They're celebrating like it's a title. I saw a lot of that on social media.
They were going pretty crazy.
Okay, that's true. I would brag. In 2003, when the Red Sox came back to beat the A's, that was a wild card comeback. And that, people, trust me,
were fired up.
Insane partying in the streets for that. That was the wild card. So
but that just, was 85 years.
Let's just be careful of saying, act like you've been there before. Sometimes you just haven't. These guys haven't, so
no,
they're
that's
celebrating.
True. No, I'm all for fans celebrating. It does seem like you just see the scene on the streets of New York.
Chalamet's high-fiving people
Chalamet.
Paul Atreides. Out of a limo.
You're like, oh, good for them. Like, they just won the title. You're like, no. Well, they must be going to the finals? No. They're going to another series against the Pacers. Like, so there is a little bit of that to me. But, like, no, I mean, go ahead. Celebrate.
Who do you have in that series,
Pacers.
By the way? Knicks.
Pacers.
Knicks.
Pacers and six.
Oh, okay. I actually hadn't thought about games yet.
Six. Six is the number.
Five.
Knicks and five?
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about that.
What is that? You don't even really mean it.
I'm leaning in on it. Right. Mark is in Medford waiting patiently. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Before I get to my Celtics comments, I just want to say my best sports viewing this weekend was watching Scottie Scheffler play golf. That guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's very fired up. You see him, he spiked his hat when he won. He's an emotionless robot, but he had a little emotion in there. Wow. Yeah.
Well, dude, Thursday and Friday, I don't think he was in the top 10 on the leaderboard. He ends up running away with it by five strokes.
Yeah, he had a very, very good Saturday and a good finish yesterday. Yeah. What's your thought on the Celtics?
I'm going to also lean towards coaching for the blame on this one, only because, like the previous caller said, kind of stole my thunder a little bit. They did not prepare the Celtics to make adjustments in game, and I think that's what hurt them. I give it to Joe Mazzulla being Joe Mazzulla. When he has a game plan, he's going to stick to it, and nothing's going to change his
mind. Yeah, I tend to think our good pal Ray likes to tweet at the show sometimes.
Often.
Sometimes multiple times.
Sure.
And I would agree with Ray. It's a player's league. And so that doesn't mean Mazzulla can't get any blame or a coach can't get any blame. But I do tend to look at the players. If Tatum had seven turnovers in an elimination game, I'd rip Tatum. And so I'm going to put the most blame on Jaylen Brown. He had more turnovers than assists. His team needed him. For a while, he was the only guy scoring. It wasn't enough. He fouled out. Like, I would put it on Jaylen more so than Mazzulla. But big picture, is Mazzulla the right guy? I think it's a fair discussion.
Like, does Thibodeau get a ton of credit for the Knicks winning? Probably not. Like, do you think he coaches Mikal Bridges differently one game to the next? Because the guy looks like a completely different player one game to the next.
I would say Tibbs outcoached Mazzulla. I think that's fair. But do I give, how much credit do I give Thibodeau for the Knicks beating the Celtics? Not a ton. What?
Good text on the text line. After Keefe's last look at a jersey, perhaps they were nervous about the look. It's a little tight. Well, they can give me a bigger size then.
Yeah. You also blame the team for that. Yeah.
Well, my Stottlemyre jersey shrunk. I don't know if I left it in the sun or what happened, but that was a tight squeeze in that Raptors jersey.
The jersey for sure shrunk. That's what it was.
That's
true. Yeah. There's a lot of my wardrobe shrinking in my 40s.
It's a real problem.
It's weird how it just happens all the time.
I'm going to go check the mail room, though. I think there could be something up there.
Are we gonna have to apologize?
I'd be happy to apologize.
Okay.
But sadly, if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube, you'll know. I'll either be wearing a jersey with a big smile on my face, or I'll be very sad and tired from huffing it up four flights of stairs to the mailroom.
6 months.
I want that one so bad.
No, this was me. This is Keith.
That was me. And then Hart's like, oh, I got one. I was like, yeah, I got it.
He might wear it today. He can't wear his Jalen.
Sick brag, bro.
No, he can probably take
off.
He
can't wear his Jalen jersey anymore. Maybe he'll start wearing that.
Good point.
We'll get into the changes coming for the Celtics. Who's coming? Who's going? We'll get to that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.